When I was a little boy, I had a backpack and I collected keychains on my backpack. One of those keychains was a little rabbit's foot. It was tie-dyed blue. I think I got it out of a vending machine somewhere. And I had that little rabbit's foot on my backpack. And every time I saw it, you know, I think it gave me courage or something, because as you might know, rabbit's feet have this weird thing about them. They're like lucky charms or something. Supposedly, if you have a rabbit's foot, you know, nothing bad will happen to you. It's a lucky charm. All will go well. Where did that come from? Where did this idea that the left hind foot of a rabbit, especially if it was caught in a graveyard, and especially if it was caught in the full moonlight, had some magical power about it? I don't even know. But that's all I needed to know, was that it was there. I had this little thing on my backpack, and it gave me courage. Just knowing that I had it, it just made things seem like it would be all right. Does that really work? Lucky charms? Oftentimes, you might not have done this, but you've probably heard some people do this. Sometimes we take scripture verses and we treat them like rabbit's feet. It's like, as long as we have this in front of us, or you know, on a card or on our coffee mug or stitched on our pillow or whatever, everything's going to be all right. One of those, which shows up throughout scripture, is this promise, if you will: all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. What does that mean to you? When you hear that or see that written across a banner or posted on a website, when you see that on somebody's shirt, what does that mean? All things are possible with God. I think people have, and we're all susceptible to this, at times we treat that like a rabbit's foot. It's just a lucky charm, and just having it there, it's reassuring to us that everything's going to be okay. The problem with that is it can often be removed from context, and too often than not, just like the rabbit's foot made me feel good, a lot of times we think anything is possible for me with God. But that's not what the scripture says. Several times in the scriptures, there's this note about everything is possible with God. Jesus is with his disciples, and he's talking about how it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich, wealthy person to enter the kingdom of heaven. It sounds impossible, doesn't it? Talking about salvation that God delivers to his people, they say, well, then how can anybody be saved? Jesus? And he responds, with God, all things are possible. Jesus was speaking of the kingdom. Jesus was speaking of salvation for all men. Jesus was speaking of the salvation that God gives to those who fear him and trust him. And sure enough, with God, hearts can be changed. The vilest sinners can be saved, can be transformed. Even the righteous rich person, the rich person, can enter the kingdom of heaven. Even a camel could go through an eye of a needle. That verse can be used so many ways to give us so many licenses and liberties that aren't necessarily being talked about. And sure, later on in Philippians, as we've looked at before, the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, what does he mean by saying, I can do all things? Is he saying, I can do anything I want? Paul's writing to a church who's gone through a lot. He's writing to a church who has a strong witness in the city. He's writing to a church who has offered him a bunch of needs, and he is really encouraged by their support. Paul knows his own life story and just the endurance, the hardships he's faced. Paul's speaking of endurance. And to be sure, in our lives, any suffering we go through, we can loudly proclaim along with Paul, I can do all, I can bear all, I can endure through him who gives me strength. We can say, with God, all things are possible. But lest we use that too quickly, in our own context, we have to remember that this is all about God's will. For God, all things are possible. Not necessarily with God, anything is possible for us. Well, there's one more spot where this scripture shows up in the Bible. And it's not used in the it's used in the negative sense. It says, it uses a double negative, which I know some of you teachers out there just love these things. Nothing is impossible with God. If you're able to read Luke chapter 1 this week, we come across an amazing story. An amazing story where this is proclaimed. Nothing is impossible with God. The beginning of Luke's gospel. Luke, not one of the apostles. Luke, a friend of an apostle. Luke, a doctor. Someone from Dartmouth, maybe. Someone writing an orderly account. Writing an orderly account of the things that have happened here. Reflecting on and sharing the stories of Jesus and his life. Writing an orderly account, the one that has the most filled out account of the life and happenings before Jesus was born. So for the next month or so, during Advent, we'll just be in Luke 1. I encourage you again, read this chapter every week. Just sit in it. Reflect on it. Use it as devotional material. It's an amazing story. So what's going on here? An angel, Gabriel, appears to two people. First, to Zechariah. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. Another story. Elizabeth conceives 6 months into her pregnancy. The same angel, Gabriel, appears to Mary. What is known in history as the Annunciation, which is depicted in the front of the bulletins there. The Annunciation. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary. This is verses 26 and on in Luke 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." She was troubled at the saying. She tried to discern the sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. With God, nothing is impossible. We think about miracles. In his book, popular theology book called Miracles by Eric Metaxas, which I highly recommend, he quotes our favorite C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says, "A miracle is something that unique. It's something unique that breaks the pattern so expected and so established that we hardly consider the possibility that it could be broken. If for 1,000 years a woman can become pregnant only by sexual intercourse with a man, then if she were to become pregnant without a man, it would be a miracle." Eric Metaxas uses his own words. He says, "A miracle, it's something, a transgression of the law of nature by a particular volition of the deity or by the interposition of some invisible agent. It's really, he says, it's where time and space, something outside of time and space, enters time and space, whether just to wink at us or to poke us for a brief moment or to spend 3 decades with us. When we think about our lives, we realize that our whole lives are miracles. The fact that we are born, the fact that we are breathing, that we have life, that we are sustained, that we get 8 hours of sleep and wake up, the fact that we have health, that we recover after being ill, the fact that we can make relationships and be redeemed with one another. Life is a miracle. It's amazing. And science is not opposed to this. It really all works in amazing. It's all amazing. It all works together. It glorifies God, our Creator, who spoke something into nothing, who created by His own words, who out of nothing created all that we are and all that we have. Even seeing human civilization and what we have made, it speaks of our Creator and the amazing powers and gifts that He's given to us. Our whole lives are miracles. And if we were to think that miracles don't really exist or that was a time ago, we really just miss out on seeing the beauty and the glory of it all. And to be sure, we remember this month and this holiday season, we remember a miracle. That God became a man. That God came to us. That something outside of time and space entered time and space. And He does wink at us. And He does poke us. And He spent 3 decades with us. And He has given us His Spirit. And He continues to wink at us and to poke us, to prod us, to draw us back to Him, to open our eyes. Nothing will be impossible with God. And so just as I opened with, it's not like a rabbit's foot. It's not some lucky charm. Even God's word that He has given to us, miraculously speaking to us, it's not something that we have to hold on to like a rabbit's foot or a lucky charm, but it's something that we can hide in our hearts. It's something that we can spend time in, reading this amazing story, remembering God's work in the world. And that indeed, when it's His will, nothing is impossible for Him. Even Jesus, when He had spent 3 decades on earth after His miraculous birth, we remember that even He says, "Lord, if it is Your will, take this cup from Me, but not as I will, but as You will." Jesus, of all people, could have called out the impossibility of God. Jesus, of all people, could have changed God's work. We think of His temptation in the desert. He could have done anything He wanted. Yet He submitted to God's will, to His Father's will. Jesus, groaning and longing before His crucifixion, calling out that God would change, God, that He would say, "Not by My will, but by Your will." Nothing is impossible with God. And yet, even Jesus, our Master and our Lord, submits to the Father, trusting Him who is omnipotent over all. And so even as we spend this month in Advent, as we remember the coming of our Lord in this miraculous birth, as we think about His second coming, when He comes again in glory, when He will reunite all things, when He will bring justice and peace to the earth, and when He will search out for those who are waiting for Him and fearing Him and trusting in Him. Advent is a time for us to examine ourselves, in the church calendar, it's kind of like the new year. So just like we have New Year's resolutions, let us this month, let us in Advent, let us renew our hearts to the Lord. Let us take time to examine and prepare for Him. Let us make space for Him. And let us remember that even as hard as our hearts may be at times, and even as stuck as we might feel in our sin or in the brokenness around us, let us remember that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. Amen.